person in this assembly. And when Joshua made that proclamation, he was standing in front of peers. He was standing in front of people who had been called to be God's people. And Joshua, knowing the frailty of their faith, said unto them, "You can worship the gods of Egypt. You can worship the gods that have been noticed in the wanderings of the wilderness. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And today, what we look around and we see the world and we say there's too many distractions for our children. There's too many avenues for them to take. It's hard to serve the Lord in this generation. It was hard to serve the Lord when Joshua made that proclamation, but he made the proclamation. And I believe it that he stood firm in that proclamation and he saw it to the end, and as for him and his house, they served the Lord. And the urge this morning is that all of us, especially the fathers in the room, would make the proclamation that no matter what comes our way, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to talk about family. I was asked to speak on that yesterday, and I thought I'd use today to expand upon that idea. Some of the concepts that the elders want to make sure that are addressed this year, one of them being home and family. And so this morning we're going to talk about home and family, and this evening we're going to talk about home and family. And even after both of those sermons are finished, we will not have talked about everything that needs to be addressed. But I want to set our minds around this morning what the family is. And I think once we understand what the family is in God's eyes and what God desires the family to be, we will be more ready to make the proclamation that Joshua made. We'll be more firm in our convictions. And we'll be the husbands and wives, fathers, mothers, and children that we've been called to be. My argument this morning is that at the centerpiece of our response to God's covenant is family. The centerpiece of our response to God's covenant is family. Here's why I say that. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, we have Moses speaking to the people. He has been made aware that he will not enter the promised land. Because of his pride and arrogance, in moments in the wilderness, he will be denied entrance into the promised land. And he reminds them in Deuteronomy chapter 5 of the Ten Commandments, the fifth of which, right in the middle, is, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." At the centerpiece of those Ten Commandments that were delivered to his people was the family. And once he's given them these Ten Commandments, he starts in chapter 6, speaking to them of going into the promised land. He says, "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach to you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son, and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes, his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long." As they enter into the promised land, as they enter into that which God was going to materially give to them as his piece of the covenant, God gives them the land, and he gives them the word by which they would follow it. He draws their attention to family. And he says, "This word that is given, teach it to your sons. But do not stop there. See to it that your son also teaches it to his son." Therefore, as we see God giving this covenant to his people, as they were to dwell in the covenant land, the centerpiece of what he was getting across to them was to respect and honor and cherish family. And so it's a high calling to which we have been called to protect the family and protect the values that are supposed to be there in the family. And as we understand that it is the centerpiece of our response to God's covenant, should we be surprised that the family is under attack? Should we be surprised that every media outlet in the world will belittle one man, one woman for life? Because Satan understands that if he can destroy the family, he can destroy one of the best and biggest parts of God's covenant. Is it any surprise that the media that our children are having to see and that they want to put down our children's throat does not honor family and does not honor the values that need to be taught in the family? And so, brethren, as we get upset about that, I would say unto you, are you surprised? And why are you surprised? And I will say this. When our families fall apart, it's not Disney's fault. And when our families fall apart, it's not because of legislation in the White House. It's because we did not take it to be our responsibility to protect that which God gave us to protect. And so the responsibility is on our shoulders. We need to understand what God has given us and how important it is in our covenant relationship with God. Let's turn to two other passages to further make this point. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll spend a lot of time this morning in Ephesians. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 22. One of the concepts that the world likes to tear apart, make fun of, and belittle. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Verse 24, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. The church offers salvation. The church offers sanctification. The church offers hope. And the microcosm of that church that was God's eternal plan for salvation for mankind is the family unit. Paul, as he tries to describe and help us understand what the family is to be about, he cannot help but mention Christ and his church. That's why Satan is attacking this. And that's why, as we are young families, that we're not young families just surviving and trying to live up to the schedules that we have laid out. And we're going to get to the Word of God when we have time. We cannot have that attitude and be pleasing unto God. Because the battle line has been there, placed there for us. And Satan is trying to destroy the home, knowing, Satan knows, what sometimes we fail to recognize, that the family is crucial to the growth of the gospel and crucial to the growth of the church. Therefore, we have to get busy about the business of raising strong children and seeing to it that they teach their children. And as we see families struggling, we need to be a help and an aid to them, not a discouragement and people of judgment, but people that can encourage them to walk boldly in this generation. Turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I'm telling you, the centerpiece, what God had in mind as he was talking to a covenant people, he had in mind families. He had in mind families. God speaking here to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house into the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God, what do you have in mind and what's under consideration? What are you talking about to Abraham? I'm talking about my covenant. That same covenant would be referenced back as Paul would try to explain to us faith and grace in Romans. He would reference back to this original covenant that God gave to Abraham. And in this original covenant that God gave to Abraham, he says, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Therefore, the centerpiece of our response to the covenant is strong families. Let us not shirk our responsibility. Now, let us be clear in understanding. You're sitting there and you don't have a family and things worked out. And there's a couple of things here. One, the Apostle Paul was never married, but he worked diligently. So the family is not the only response to the covenant, but it's a central piece of it. The other thing that we might say is you might be sitting here and saying, well, I'm just a young person and I understand that children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And as long as I obey my parents, I'm doing what's right and I'm fulfilling my part of the covenant. It doesn't stop there, children. You better start now figuring out who your spouse is going to be. It can't just be that person that you meet when you're 18, 19, 20 years old, and then we're going to marry that person. Here's what I mean by that. That person already has to be created in your mind. You have to know the person you're looking for before you ever meet them. You were looking for them. You didn't know their name, but you were looking for them. You were looking, young men, for the Proverbs 31 woman. And you've memorized what that woman looks like. You can see her. You can hear it in her voice. You know who she is. And therefore, when you meet her, you can be joined together. Therefore, if you're swept away and in love and attraction of the flesh and different things, let it not distract you from the Proverbs 31 woman, that you know that it is only she that can help you be who you want to be. And young ladies, understand what it means for a man to serve as an elder in the church. Understand that now as you're 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. Understand what it means for someone to serve as an elder in the church. What qualities and attributes does that man have? And fall in love with that person. And when you meet them, you will know that you can partner with them, because you, generally speaking, only get one opportunity to make that decision and get that decision right. If you get that decision wrong, you've got a long life ahead of you. And so I would say the response for the children in the audience to fulfilling their part of this covenant is, yes, children, obey your parents in the Lord, but also start understanding who you want to be attracted to and who you want to be joined to on this journey as you respond to the covenant that God has called you to. Only two other points we have. They're not 2-minute points, but we have two other points this morning. At the centerpiece of now that home has to be the teaching of God's Word. That's what the home was called to do. The home was not called to create athletes. The home was not called to create these people who are wonderful in music and instruments. Well-rounded in their hobbies. That is not the calling of the home. The calling of the home is to teach the Word diligently. When you rise up, when you lie down, when you walk by the way, you teach the Word. That's your calling. And too often, we answer the calling of the world. And we make sure they're rounded in everything else, all the while forsaking the one thing that God has asked you to do in that home, which is to teach the Word. And from there, I just want us to understand a few of the concepts that are taught in the home. So let's talk about the importance of teaching the Word. Deuteronomy Back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, we understand that the centerpiece of what God was wanting for His people as they inherited the land that He had given to them was going to be these families. He says here in verse 3, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful." That's exactly the message that we have before us this morning. Because families are so important, and because they are such a large part of God's plan in His covenant people, you be careful. Fathers, you be careful how you spend your time. You be careful what job you choose to have to provide for your family. You be careful with the language you use. You be careful with the clothes you wear. You be careful with the friends you have. Be careful. Mothers, likewise. Be careful to do them that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." Verse 7, "Once you've become who you need to be, once you're careful in all of your ways, you shall teach them diligently." You shall teach them intentionally. You shall teach them with fervor, making every effort to put the Word of God in the forefront of your children's mind. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. At all times you should be speaking of the Word of God to them. Verse 8, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house, on your gates. You shall be ever about the business of proclaiming the Word of God. If not, that is not a home that is pleasing to God." At dinner time, and you're going to tell me, "Well, we don't have time for dinner." That sounds like a problem. That sounds like something needs to be addressed. At dinner time, what are we talking about? The Word of God. That they may grow in that and that they may understand that. "Well, they like to have dinner downstairs and I like to be upstairs." Let's go back to what God said to His covenant people. You be careful. You be careful how you go about the business of interacting with your family, because it's a crucial part of the covenant that God has with us. At sunrise, sunset, maybe you're not a morning person. Kids, come here, I need you to see this as the sun goes down. It's going down in the same place today as it went down yesterday. Let me tell you what that means about our God. As you walk by the way and you talk about that water and you see the water and you let them understand how important water is to being right with God and what water can do for them in their lives and how it can cleanse them of their sins. Brethren, it's easy if it's at the forefront of your mind. And every text message that you send to those older children, a few of them need to be the Word of God, that you put it before them. Because let me tell you, Satan is seeing to it that there are other messages being put before them and in the forefront of their minds. Therefore, it is our job to combat what Satan is doing to them and all the words and the messages that Satan is trying to put before them. It is your job, fathers, to make sure that gets done. That is not the duty of this church. That is not the duty of a youth pastor. That's not the duty of somebody else. It's not the duty of the grandfather, the grandmother. It's your duty, fathers. You've been called to do that. And if you forsake it or put it off on someone else, you shall receive judgment for shirking the responsibility that God has given you. Amen. And brethren, that's why the world around us isn't what it should be. Because fathers aren't willing to take this responsibility. Why did Israel, as they inherited the land that they inherited, why did it become something that it was never supposed to be? Why did they have kings that
were filled with idolatry
because their fathers didn't teach diligently them the word of God. And we must take this as our responsibility. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Here's why I'm so strong on this, that this is the father's job. There's not much written about fathers. But it says in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 6, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Fathers, what is your God-given responsibility? Teaching the word. Well, they go to church on Sunday and they go to church on Wednesday. What is your God-given response? Well, I know they have Bible classes that they... That's good and that's helpful. But that does not relieve you of your God-given responsibility to teach the word to your children diligently. Nothing will replace a father and an open Bible. Nothing will replace that. Therefore, God gives it as a command, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Meaning you practice what you teach. You be consistent about following the word of God. And after you've been consistent about following the word of God, you teach it to your children. That is your God-given responsibility. And here's why. Because it sets your children and your family apart from the world. Isn't that what God was wanting to do for his children in Deuteronomy 5 and 6? Set them apart, make them different. Let's go up in Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 26, this is how the husband is supposed to interact with the wife. But notice he cleanses her with the word, verse 26, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. The wife was separated from the world by the word. Your children will be separated from the world by the word. And it has to be the centerpiece of all that you promote inside that home. They learn submission through the word. Ephesians 5 and 21. Ephesians 5 and 21, before Paul talks about wives and husbands and the relationships there, he wants to get this point across to the people at Ephesus. You submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Husbands need to be submissive people. But Devin, I thought that was the woman's role. Submitting to one another. That's all people. We're submissive people. If we're going to be separate from the world, we're going to show the world that we're separate by our submissiveness to rulers and authorities and principalities. Even when we disagree with them, we're submissive. They learn that in the home because they see, the children see in verse 22, that the wife is submitting to the husband as into the Lord. They learn sacrifice. Verse 25, when the father's who he needs to be, the children are learned sacrifice, which is a great tenet of Christianity. And it's a great piece of who Christ Jesus is. And in the home, they need to see sacrifice. And they need to hear us talk about sacrifice in the Word of God. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. They learn order. They learn order. Our God is a God of order. Our God likes order. You know, Romans 1, where God can be seen through creation. Namely, his divine attributes can be seen how? Through creation. Well, what do we learn from creation? Order. Rain falls, the grass grows. Temperatures change, we learn order. Our God is a God of order. As he established the church, what does he have inside of his church? He has order. He has elders, he has deacons, he has evangelists. He has order in his church. Our God loves order. And what children learn in the home is they learn order. Verse 23, for the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. They learn this in the home. And it's our business to not only teach it, as I've spoken of this morning, but to also live it so that they see it. And they learn really who God is. They learn it in the home. And the last thing that I want to mention this morning is that they learn respect. They learn respect in the home. Is it any wonder that the world disrespects the home? Because that is the ground in which children are learning to be respectful people. Ephesians 5 and 33. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. There's love, but then there's also respect in the home. And as they see that wife respect the husband, they learn in their future life to respect God. Let's turn our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And I want us to realize what the Ecclesiastes writer realized, which is the whole of man and the totality of man, and its respect. We're submissive people and we're respectful people. We are a submissive people and a respectful people. The world is becoming disrespectful about everything. You know, as you think about that, as Paul would write Romans chapter 13, he would tell them to honor the rulers and authorities. When the Pharisees asked Jesus a question about who should we pay taxes unto, he really turned that on to them and said, those unto whom you respect. Because as they gave him the denarii, what did he say? Whose inscription is on this? Therefore, honor to whom honor is due and respect to whom respect is due. Now, I want to talk about those whom they were called to respect. Was that a very loving government that they were called to respect? Was it a tolerant government that they were called to respect? Those taxes that they were asked to pay would go into the treasury of Rome, and Rome would use those funds to suppress the Jews, destroy and kill the Jewish way of life living. And what did Jesus say to them? You respect them. In many ways, we would say they were not worthy of respect. But yet we are commanded to show respect. I don't know that we have to think nice thoughts about them as we show them respect, but they must see that we respect them. And the government in which they lived under was much more unruly than that which we are being called to live under today. But yet the command to them is the same as it is to us. You honor to those who are due honor. And the Lord said the governing authorities were due honor. And children, the Lord said your father was due respect. Your mother was due respect. Well, they're not. You don't understand. It can be hard. And they may not be who they need to be. And therefore, you need to pray for them that they will be better. As you come to a better understanding of the Word of God and you realize they're not living the way they should, that does not give you the ability to just live any way you want to and be disrespectful to them. You must honor them because of the order, because of where God placed them as the father or as the mother. Will it be hard? Oh, it'll be very hard. But was it hard for them in that audience that day to say, you mean I have to pay taxes to this government that's trying to disrupt my very way of living? Yes. Honor to whom honor is due. Christians are a respectful group of people. And they learn that in the home. And as they show respect to people here on earth, they're really just fulfilling their total calling, which is to fear God or respect God and keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, the end of the matter All has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And fathers, mothers, it is your responsibility to teach them to be respectful to governing authorities, teachers, but also to you. And we have to have a zero tolerance for disrespect. We have to have a zero tolerance for disrespect in the home, because the whole of man is to respect. And if you allow them to be disrespectful in the home, do you know who later in life they will disrespect? God Almighty. And it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And the whole matter is to fear God and keep His commandments. May we answer the calling that God has put before us as families this morning. May we challenge one another to be the fathers, the mothers, the children that we've been called to be. And may we uphold the Word of God as supreme in our houses, but also in this church this morning. If you're not right with God, He calls you to be adopted as His child. Galatians 4. You get an opportunity this morning to be adopted by the greatest Father ever, who loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that you could be called His and you could wear His name. Whatever you need to do to be right with God, I pray that you'll do so as together we stand and as we sing. Amen.